Good morning. It's great to see all of you out today. Do we have any special guests visiting with us this morning? If you are, will you please stand so we can recognize you? Any special guests this morning? All home folks, it's great to see all of you out today. I hope all of y'all had a blessed Thanksgiving and had, I'm sure they all had a lot of food and fun time with the family. We had an exciting time. We had a lot of people in from out of town, so it was exciting to see your family at, on the holidays. And you know what today is? 1 month away from Christmas. It's too fast. It's moving by too fast. We had 21 youth and children in Sunday school this morning. We had 60 adults and 81 total. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, our pastor says something about his plea would be for everybody to come to Sunday school. And this is where you learn to live the Christian life. You learn what the Bible has to say. You can discuss things. If you have a question you don't understand, something about the Bible, you can ask questions. If the Sunday school teacher doesn't know, our pastor will know. He knows everything. Right, Pastor? But our pastor does know quite a bit. If he doesn't know, he'll find out the answer too. But come to Sunday school. That's how you learn to live the Christian life. And we talked about being blessed. We said, blessed to be in trouble. Blessed to be in trouble. But sometimes we don't feel like we're blessed. But then after it's already over with, we realize how blessed we were. Because we learn from our experiences. Blessed to have been faithful. Blessed to be a blessing. And a pastor says, who wants to be blessed? All of us want to be blessed. But who wants to be a blessing to others? Sometimes that's hard. We have to live the Christian life, and all the hands went up again, too, that we wanted to be a blessing to others. But we need to be a blessing to others, too. But come to Sunday school. Okay, the announcements this morning. Carolyn will be making an announcement about Happy Birthday Jesus, and Ron will be making an announcement about basketball. Today, November the 25th at 3:30, we're all invited to Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, their 89th church anniversary. The address is 3640 Cane Run Road. The directions will be back on the usher's desk in the vestibule. But if you all have a GPS, you can put it in at 3640 Cane Run Road. Seasoned Saints are collecting non-perishable food for Christmas baskets. Place the baskets by the usher's table or leave it at the coffee station. And any monetary gifts can be given to Sue Estridge or Darlene Fletcher. Pray for one another this morning and continue to pray for our pastor for his health and a continued strength. And pray for Johnny as he preaches this morning. So it'll be Carolyn and then Ron. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the preschool department to invite you to Happy Birthday Jesus. That will be on Wednesday, December 12th, from 6:30 to 7:30. We ask that you bring an empty shoebox with a gift for a toy for a child or an adult. They're also asking for, towels, smell goods, perfumes. So come join us. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I got a couple of things. First thing, I want to praise God for all my life and does everything for us. And it's just wonderful. I can't say enough what he's done for me, for everybody. Another thing, and we're here to also talk about God's basketball ministry. And ours is God's basketball ministry. And if we have any members that have some siblings that still need to sign up, we'd be happy they sign up, but we're filling up pretty quick now. And we also need workers if they want to come out and volunteer to work. We could need some people work maybe in the kitchen or maybe in the desk in different places. See either Jackie or John Crittenden or me. We thank you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this morning in our Sunday school, we read the lesson, No Regrets. And you know, I was talking to my pastor just now. And you know, I was telling him about a guy that came over. And he was asking me, was I still going to St. Paul? And you know, because he quit going to church. He quit going to church. A faithful man of God quit going. And I was saying to him when he asked me that question. You know, I'm going to read you this first. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When I look at my own life, I cannot forget the benefits of God and what he's done in my life. And then, you know, this same guy was over my house enjoying a dinner. And what are you saying? I'm saying, how can I not bless the Lord and continue to come to church, worship God, and continue to allow him to be a blessing unto me, to allow me to be a blessing unto others? I cannot forget the benefits of God. And when he said that, I kind of like moved around and said, man, what do you mean? Why won't I go to church? You know, I couldn't move just a few years ago. And I said, man, my health's coming back to me. And I'm just trying to tell you, if you're in here today, and as we just come through this far this year, let's not forget the benefits of God. For he's worthy to receive our praise. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
There is one day in your courts. Better is a one day in your house. Better is a one day in your courts than thousand elsewhere. Better is a one day in your courts. Better is a one day in your house. Better is a one day in your courts than thousand elsewhere.
Than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Good morning. I'm going to do the responsive reading. It's 701 in the back of your hymnals. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am becoming as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, love never faileth. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of all these is love.
Thank you. It is time for our altar call prayer. Whose arms are we leaning on? Leaning on Jesus. If you would like, you can come forward. We'll gather down here around the altar. While you're coming, others of you, you can't make it here for whatever condition. You can pray from where you are. It's not just confined to the people that's up here. You know, God's prayer goes right through the ceiling to God. It doesn't stop with the ceiling. It doesn't stop with the top of your head. It goes to God in prayer. 3 days ago, most of us were able to thank God for the blessings He's given us on a day that was set aside for that. Right now, I'd like for you to just pause before I finish with prayer and have a prayer thanking God for everything He's given us in our life to this time. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and each and every one of you pray. And I'll give you a few moments and then I will pray. Our most precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come here this morning and to tell Jesus, just as this song says, I will tell Jesus all of my troubles. I'll tell Him all the blessings that He's given me. Our Father, we thank You so much for everything that You've done for us. Seems trite that we just put one day of the year for Thanksgiving, when each and every day should be one thanking You for the blessings that You've given us. We pray Your blessings upon all these prayers that were raised up to You this morning. For some who are sick, some have difficulties, some are just straight away. And our Father, we pray that these blessings, these prayers, have been answered. Guide us and lead us in the things that we do. And let's go tell Jesus the problems that we've got. Father, thank You so much for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and has given us our salvation through Him. Again, thank You for this church. Thank You for its people. Our Father, thank You again for all the blessings You've given us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you. You may return to your seats. Thank you. It is now mission offering time. You see the buckets have been placed up here. This is where we have a chance to give to those that may be overseas, they may be within our community, they may be somewhere in the state of Kentucky. We don't know where, but they are for mission. And this is what the money is collected for. So right now, it's what we call our meet and greet time and also our mission giving time. So come forward and place that offering in the buckets. Thank you.
Thank you. morning, church.
Good morning.
Let us continue to worship our Lord and Savior in our giving. Let us pray. Most holy God, we thank you for this day that you allow us to come again to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us to be obedient and worship you in our offering. Bless the ones that give. Bless the ones that may not have to give. May it be used for the advancement of the kingdom. These things we ask in your Son's name. Christ Jesus' name we pray.
Nothing for the Lord.
And all the people said, amen. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Let me say to Pastor Bingham, to ministers, officers, members, and friends, it's good to be here. I always say I'm elephant happy and hippopotamus glad to be here. I want to thank Pastor Bingham for permitting me to stand before this congregation. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And he's still doing great things today. I won't keep you very long. I want to share with you a passage from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, beginning with verse 35. And I'm reading the King James translation. It says, "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing the multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those went before him, warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.'" Let us pray. Open now the crystal fountain from which the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillow guide us on our journey through. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." It was in the year of 1966. I believe I was around 16 years old at that time, if you can believe it. Motown's recording artist, The Temptations, recorded the hit song, "Ain't Too Proud to Beg." The song was written by songwriters Norman Whitfield and Eddie Holland Jr. It was released in May of 1966. The song soared to number one chart on the R&B charts, and it climbed to number 29 in the top Hot Billboard's 100 songs. Needless to say, the song reached gold status, selling over 1 million copies. I know the song says, "I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind because you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg." Then he says, "Now I've heard a crying man is half a man with no sense of pride. If I have to cry to keep you, I don't mind weeping, because it'll keep you by my side. Ain't too proud to beg." My favorite verse, he says, "If I have to sleep on your doorstep all night and day just to keep you from walking away, let your friends laugh, even this I can stand, because I want to keep you any way I can." He says, "Ain't too proud to beg." In the text, we discover a man who is begging. Not only is he begging, but he is begging because he is blind, and because he is blind, he is begging. He is poor. Therefore, he has to sit on the side of the road and beg for a living. There was no welfare, no social and governmental security safety net. There was no mention of any family support. He seems to be on his own, sitting by the side of the road, begging. And I would surmise to you that he ain't too proud to beg. I see many today on street corners with little cardboard cards, signs that read hungry, hopeless, and helpless. And I would surmise to you that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Folk are still begging. This story is also recorded by Mark, who gives the blind man a name. He calls him Bartimaeus. Matthew gives the same account, but Matthew indicates that there were two men sitting on the side of the road begging. Out of these synoptics, Luke, being a physician, would have a better appreciation for the handicapped and the physically disabled and the mentally challenged. And so we have this account here by Dr. Luke. Some would say that Jesus is entering Jericho, but there are others who would say he is leaving Jericho. Now, whether entering or exiting, we know that he is near Jericho. We find at this point in the ministry of Jesus, he's on a roll, y'all. He's no longer been a quiet, kept secret. The news is out. You know how the news media is, breaking news. The news is out. He heals the lame and he walks on water. He's calmed the restless sea and he feeds a multitude. He raises the dead. The word is out for that reason. Throngs are following him. He is like a superstar. And you know how we follow superstars. He is like a recording artist superstar. Jesus, having now predicted his plight before this scene here, he's told his disciples, he says, now, things are going to get bad here, fellas. There used to be an old saying, we used to say it works, save your money. Things are going to get hard here. And so he predicts to his crew that he's going to be leaving them. And they are perplexed as to what he's talking about. They don't seem to understand, what do you mean you're leaving us? Where are you going? And so he's now near the city of Jericho, a city that's near the Jordan River. The city that had, you remember, that had a wall, a protective wall around it, but it fell down when the children of Israel marched around it. Jericho is the road whereby we get the story of the Good Samaritan. The name Jericho means fragrant. Jericho is a place where we find one begging man, that I might receive my sight. There are three things that I want to say, possibly four, about this blind begging man sitting by the roadside. The first thing we notice is he's crying out. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I got to cry sometimes. Every now and then, I have to cry. Life can deal us a bad hand, and we can make bad decisions. Stuff can happen to us. And sometimes we need to cry. I know Sister Lillian sings that, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. Blind beggar cried out. That's the first thing he did. He cried out. He said, what's going on here? He heard the crowd moving about, and he heard all the commotion and all the noise going on and all the hoopla going on, and he wanted to know one thing. He said, what's going on? What's happening here? He cried out. Two, who did he cry out to? He didn't cry out to the crowd. He just wanted to know what was going on. He couldn't see. But one thing he could do was hear. And he heard, and isn't it interesting how when we lose one thing, we gain another. He couldn't see, but he could hear. He heard the crowd. He heard the noise, and he said, what's going on? And then he begins, when he finds out who it was, they told him, it says, Jesus of Nazareth is walking by. Jesus is near you. Jesus is coming through. He's going out, whatever it is, he's here. And so he says, he cries out to Jesus. Sometimes we cry out to the wrong folk, y'all. We cry out to folk that can't help us. Oh, they'll talk about us.
but they can't help us. All over Facebook talking about us. All over the social media talking about us. All in the neighborhood talking about us. Even, look out now, even in the church, they're talking about us. But they can't help us. Somebody said, talk is cheap. Folk in the barbershops talking. Folk in the beauty salon talking. Everybody's yapping and talking about something, but nobody can help you. Sam Cooke said, I go to my brother, and my brother, you know what? He got his own problems. He can't help me. Sometimes help and wealth cannot heal a broken heart. Power and position will not lift you up out of the blues. I don't care how much money you got, sometimes it will not help you. It can't help you when you're down in the dumps. So he cried out to Jesus. I like that because he didn't cry out to mama. He didn't cry out to dad. He didn't cry out to he cried out to Jesus. When he found out that Jesus was close by, he said, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. I cannot pass it up. Sometimes we pass up a great opportunity. We'll pass up the window that opens up for us. Don't let it be too late. This man cried out. And thirdly, well, first he cried out. He cried out to Jesus. And thirdly, he cried out in faith. Now, this is important. Don't let this pass you by. Don't let this slip. In verse 42, we read it. He says, well, I don't know if I read it or not, but I'll read it now. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Isn't that something? It's one thing to be crying out, to be hollering and boo-hooing and carrying on. It's another one to cry with a purpose in mind. What are you crying for? Some folk are crying just to be crying. Some folk are crying just to get attention. Some folk are crying because things aren't going their way. Some folk are crying, but they have no purpose for their cry. He cried out in faith. He wanted to receive something. I like this part because even though he was blind, poor, and begging, he had the faith that Jesus could save him. Jesus could heal him. Jesus could give him what he was missing. Too many of us are walking around seeing good and don't have the same faith of this blind man. We cry, but we have no faith. That's a terrible thing to be crying and you ain't believing what you're crying in. I remember a story said a man prayed that it was going to rain. He prayed for rain. He prayed all day and all night for rain. And when he left the house, he left his umbrella in the house. Help me, somebody. Y'all catch that on the way home. We cry. Even Jesus told his own followers, oh, ye of little faith. You see what I'm doing. You're witnessing. You're standing right here. You see what's going on. You got eyes. But all ye of little faith. Let me get back to the blind man. He was sitting by the road here, begging. Heard the commotion. He inquired as to what's going on here. He cried out for mercy. Now, you got to watch people because sometimes when you are crying out, whether it's in faith or whatever it's in, they're going to tell you to shut up. Well, that's what the text said. The text said it. I didn't say it. The text said that they were told him to stop this noise. He ain't got time for you. I know I'm not supposed to use ain't, but he ain't got time for you. They told him to be quiet. Don't you know folk will try to stop you from asking for mercy? We too busy. You ain't on the program. Cried out. We don't have that in our budget. It's not working. We got better things to do. So stop all that noise. Stop all that hollering and shouting and crying and caring. Stop it. But you know what he did? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. He kept it up. He said, y'all do what you say, what you want to say, but I'm going to keep on crying. I'm not going to stop crying. You can see, I can't see. I'm going to keep crying until something happens here. Sometimes we got to keep on praying and keep on crying until something happens. I don't mean to shout, I'm just excited. Pastor Bingham said, I'm excited. Folk will have you to shut up all that racket. You disturbing things. You out of order. It's not in the program. They tell you to go get lost and come back tomorrow. Folk will tell you that. This blind man, I don't know if it was Bartimaeus. I don't know. I don't know if it was one or two. But I do know he's not too proud to beg. Y'all got quiet there because some folk don't like to beg. This man kept on crying. He cried out to Jesus, and he cried out to Jesus in faith. And he cried continuously. He trusted that Jesus could make him whole again, could make him productive in society. Everybody wants to be productive in society. I don't believe none of us want to not be productive in society. There are things that might keep us from being that way, but everybody wants a chance. Everybody wants an opportunity. So he kept going. He wanted Jesus to make him somebody that I may receive my sight. There comes a time when we need to Jesus to give us some sight. Now I know you think I'm talking about physical sight, but I'm going to change directions here for a minute. We need Jesus to give us divine sight, spiritual sight, godly sight. Sight that sees beyond the mundane. Sight that sees beyond these eyes that are in our heads. Sights that we never would have expected things to happen. I know they say a great carpenter can see a raggedy torn down house, and he can see something beautiful in this torn down house. They say a great musician can see an old raggedy violin sitting over in the junk pile, and he can see a wonderful music being made by that violin. There are a lot of things that we ought to be able to see. We need sight to understand. The problem is we just don't understand. My daddy used to say understanding is the best thing in the world. We need sight to share the goodness of God. We need sight to be kind to others. Sight to let go of certain bad habits and bad attitudes. Sight to help our brothers and sisters. Sight to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Sight to be considerate to others. Sight to honor our mothers and fathers. Sight to raise our children the right way. Sight to help those to love the church. Sight to praise God in this house. That's the kind of sight we need, y'all. That I may receive my sight. Well, I told you I wasn't going to be long. Let me end this by saying, the other day I watched a movie. I like this movie. It's called The Blind Side. I watched this movie. It's about a young African-American teenager who grew up in a bad neighborhood, crime-ridden, drug-ridden, infested. In a bad situation, as they say. He was also homeless, sleeping in the locker room at school, taking showers in the locker room at school because he had nowhere to go. His mother, he didn't know where she was, didn't know where his daddy was. Here's a young man, 16, 17, 18 years old, homeless, no family, no friends. If they were friends, they weren't really friends. He was all alone. And there was a white family. The mother saw him. She took him home. She said, you don't need to be staying out here like this. Come on home with me. She saw something, y'all. She took him in and fed him and gave him a place to stay. Bought clothes for him. Took him to the store and said, what do you want to wear? Bought stuff for him. Took him home and put him at school. He was a great football player, y'all. He could play football, but he was a little timid, a little passive. And she went on to the code and told him, said, You need to look at this team as though they're your family. You need to protect your family. And so he got that understanding. He became a great football player. But you know what? We got some more people saying, shut up. Here they come. NCAA says, oh, wait a minute, hold it, hold it, hold it. Y'all took this boy in because y'all are paying money to Ole Miss, and y'all want him to go to Ole Miss. So he got upset about it. They asked the parents, even the mother had some doubts because she said, well, maybe we did do that. You know, and the husband said, no, we didn't do it that because of that. We did it because we saw something. We were able to have divine sight. We were able to see that a poor African-American child was in despair, was in a hopeless situation. We took him home because we loved him. Well, how's this story end? He went on and got drafted in the NFL, playing pro football, making millions of dollars. All because his family had an insight. They had a sight. They could see something in him. They saw beyond his poverty. They saw beyond his helplessness. They saw beyond his despair. And what they saw was love. His name was Michael Orr. Played in the NFL. Well, just let me leave you with this. God is so good that he can see beyond our troubles. He can see beyond our mistakes. He can see when we are down and we need to be lifted up. Blind man was begging, y'all. And he asked for one thing. He could have asked for some money, because that's what he was originally doing, begging for alms. But when he saw Jesus, he didn't think about money. He could have asked for position in society, but no, he didn't ask for that either. He could have asked for a top spot in the church, y'all, but he didn't ask for that. He could have asked for millions of things, but one thing he asked for was that I may receive my sight. And I come to tell you right now that one thing we ought to be asking for today is that we might receive our sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight. That I may receive my sight.
Amen. Will counselors please come forth? Amen. What a message. What a message. As our choir comes and Sister Bingham on a hymn, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. At this time, Sister Bingham. Thank you. I don't know what you may have lost sight of. I don't know what you need. But there's one thing I'm sure of, that if you bring it to Jesus, as the song says, Savior, do not pass me by. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. If you're that way right now, don't know which way to go. If you're blind and need help, why don't you just come on up and one of these counselors will help you. As we sing the next verse. Just want to ask one more thing. Have you lost sight? I'm not talking about physical sight. I'm talking about that divine sight. Have you felt like giving up? Has life been treating you as you see unfairly, as you see it? You trying to figure out everything your way to do it? Your way. I want to introduce you to somebody. Why don't you just come on up and give it to the Lord? And because he's not going to give up on you. He's going to help you. Is there one more that would want to come forth? One more. Amen. Are there any announcements? If not, I would like to say that this afternoon at 3:30 we'll be at Mount Vernon. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. Pastor.
First of all, what a message. If you did not hear from heaven today, your ears must have been closed. Powerful word of God. I just want to call attention to the fact that about January or February of last year, we had an invitation to go to Mount Vernon Baptist Church. The new pastor that had come to the church called me the other day, and I told him, he told me that he was sorry that he heard that I was ill. I told him, I'm sorry too, but I can assure you that you won't miss anything by my not being there. There will be one who will be coming to bring a message. There will be a blessing. There will be musical members of our church who will come and provide music. We'll have visitors from our church who will come and be a part to help to celebrate 89 years of the church existence. Previously pastored by the father of his son many years ago, remembering when he was almost a child, but God blessed him to grow up and be a pastor and preacher like his father. My desire is that we would be a part of that celebration. It's an honor to be asked by another church because they have respect for your church. That's very important. And it would be my desire that all of you who can, and certainly I wish that there would be music, not only the voices of praise, but others who can join in with them and make that choir stronger, because some of you know the songs that they have sung. Let's go to that church and let them know that we appreciate having been chosen. Do you remember how many churches are in Louisville? They could have chosen, I don't know how many churches, but they happened to choose almost a year ago that we would be with them to celebrate 89 years of the existence of Mount Vernon Baptist Church. The choice and decision is yours. That brings us to the close of our service. Addresses are out there. The information about how to get there is on the outside in the lobby. Would you please stand? And by the way, Brother Eskers will be preaching again. I won't. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for how you can supply the needs that we have as when we are hungry and thirst for righteousness. We've been fed today by the young adult choir. We've been fed today by every person that has stood from announcements all the way to benediction. And I thank you so much, Lord, for those who have gathered. And I pray, God, that we will continue to lift you up in all that we set out to do. Thank you now for what has occurred here on today. And I pray, Lord, that even in this prayer, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And God bless.